Good afternoon and welcome to Stage Talk, a weekly conversation about local theater. My name is Jean Paul and Steve is absent today. We're going to be talking to Anchorage Opera, specifically about Pirates of Penzance. And here to talk about it, I have Bill Fabry, who's the director of the opera, and Kevin Patterson, who's the executive director of Anchorage Opera, to talk about this and other things pertaining to opera. And welcome, guys.
Good to see you again.
Good to be here, Jean Paul.
And so, Bill Fabry, tell us about the opera, which is Pirates of Penzance. And for those who get their Gilbert and Sullivan all confused, which one is this?
This is the one with pirates. These pirates arrive on one of a beach in Cromwell, and they're infamous. And Frederick, it's his birthday, and they're having a birthday party for him on the opening scene. And now that he's 21, he's going to lead a blameless life and give up piracy and become a well upstanding youth. But the Pirate King reminds him that he was born on leap year, so really he's only five and a little bit over. So he has to remain being a pirate. But before he's confronted with his contract that he had signed, he falls in love with Mabel when a bunch of Major General's wards come down to the beach and start frolicking and paddling their feet into the water. Again, it is leap year, and it's at the end of February, so I can't imagine them actually taking off their shoes and paddling in February, but that's Gilbert. So Frederick falls in love with Mabel and then has to give Mabel up because he still has to be a pirate until he reaches his 21st birthday.
Okay, that's far enough.
Not too confusing yet.
It just gets worse before it gets better, but
lots
that's Gilbert and Sullivan.
Yeah.
And what have you to add, Kevin?
What do I have to add? Well, you know, I must confess, I will make this radio confession, that in the land of Gilbert and Sullivan, I am not the world's biggest fan. I have a certain amount of problem with Gilbert and Sullivan in that I just, many of the pieces, I've never really experienced them properly. You know, we have a lot of Gilbert and Sullivan societies in America. It seems like every town has them. And opera companies don't generally do a lot of Gilbert and Sullivan because there's usually an amateur company in town that does them. And you kind of leave that to the amateur company in town. So I, over my career, have had a pretty limited exposure. But I have to say, when I see a good production of one, I love it. It's just that for me, as much as it is for the audience coming to the theater to see Pirates of Penzance, it's a little bit of an education because if you put it in sort of proper time frame, Pirates of Penzance was 1897 in New York. They premiered it in New York. Gilbert and Sullivan came over because they were so successful in London at the time that everyone was literally pirating their work because there was no such thing as copyright. And so they came over to America to do pirates because it was there was copyright there. Mm. But and so they could have their work guarded.
They actually opened both productions, one in London and New York, at the same time.
At the same time, yes.
So, to ensure.
But, you know, contrast Gilbert and Sullivan's Pirates with what else was going on in late 1900, the world. I mean, you just in 1898, you had Bohème. You know, Verdi was still going along, and I think you're a couple years around there. You've got Aida coming up, maybe Otello. And there's a lot of serious Wagner is going in Germany.
Puccini.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of serious stuff going on. And Gilbert and Sullivan do something so radically different over in England, and that is, it's like, you know, let's stop all the killing and all the serious melodrama from a dramatic point of view. Let's just go have fun and parody this Victorian society that we live in. And I think that though the two of them had their battles over the years, Sullivan always wanted to be thought of as a very serious composer, and Gilbert always wanted to, I think, be in the in club. You know, he and Sullivan were very different births. They came to society in very different ways. Sullivan was knighted at one point. Gilbert was kind of jealous of that, and Gilbert made his living poking fun at, you know, what was society and what was acceptable at that time. And viewed in that context, it's hysterical. And we're still doing it today in our own society. I mean, look at all of the spinoffs. I think in some ways we owe a really big debt of gratitude to Gilbert and Sullivan in America, because they opened a doorway at the turn of the century to holding all of these, you know, odd things in our world that we take for granted, and showing us for the fools we are in some respects.
I absolutely agree. I've always been, on the other hand, have been a fan of Gilbert and Sullivan, just because I did understand that I had read a lot of English history, and I knew what they were writing for and to at the time, which makes it much funnier.
And Pirates is a great piece in that it, like a lot of their pieces, very successfully bridges the world between what we think of as Broadway and what we think of as opera. Being an operetta, it is, you know, it is not, it's got a foot in both camps. And the fact that it had, I mean, I think I was reading somewhere that between 1900 and 1960, there were 150 different productions, 150 different performances of Gilbert and Sullivan operettas on Broadway in that span of time. So, you know, it's a great piece, whether you're a Broadway lover and you don't come to the opera, or you're an opera lover and you love Gilbert and Sullivan. It's got something for everyone in it.
And without operetta and music hall, British music hall, our art form called musical theater, which is we can call American, would never have come about without the beginnings of operetta, musical theater.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
For those of you who are just tuning in, this is Stage Talk here with my guest Bill Fabree and Kevin Patterson. And we're talking about Pirates of Penzance, which Anchorage Opera is going to do here in a few weeks. Bill.
Yes.
I've often wondered about directing opera as opposed to directing theater. You have to get the characters who are about to sing solos down front. It must be more interesting.
Not always. It's not always park and bark, and this show will be a great example of that. I always I started out in musical theater, and so I never really thought about approaching operetta or opera any other way. I still make the characters move and act and sing at the same time. And what I like most about musical theater is you have dialogue, which leads into a little bit of singing, and if you can't sing and talk about it, you got to dance too. So it's a wonderful progression in telling a story.
It is. I love musical comedy. Well, I love.
And the show is also orchestrated in a way that you could be anywhere on stage and still be heard.
And
without having to just come straight down stage and yell at the audience.
I think this is time to put a disclaimer in here. I should have mentioned earlier that I am a member of the board of directors of Anchorage Opera, a longtime opera fan, and a longtime member of the Anchorage Opera Guild.
Duly noted.
Thank you. And so, Kevin, going on, this particular opera has a very, very funny solo, which every Gilbert and Sullivan opera has, but this one is particularly funny. Would you like to comment on it?
Are you commenting on the "I am the very model of a modern major general"?
Yes.
Well, yes, that would be the one. And you know, I was just sitting here thinking about how much Gilbert and Sullivan has bled into our popular culture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can think of lines in Frasier. I can think of lines in almost any sitcom you can put on television. True. Where at some point they've pulled the Gilbert and Sullivan line.
Yeah, and commercials.
Commercials Campbell do soon. It all the time. You know, and the yeah. very the modern major general, I mean, golly, I mean, how many references can you name, Bill? I mean, it's everywhere.
It's everywhere. Yeah.
It's everywhere. That, and I think the other famous line that comes out of it is a policeman's life is a...
Is it not a happy one?
I mean, that one's around. And, you know, what was it? Chief Justice William Rehnquist, after seeing a production of Gilbert and Sullivan, I forget, it was the Lord Chancellor in...
Iolanthe.
He put the gold stripes on his robe and would wear those at the Supreme Court hearings.
Yeah, he was a great fan of
So,
Gilbert.
I mean, you know, you can't get any more into popular culture than that when you've got the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, you know, ripping off Gilbert and Sullivan costumes. So, you know, it's really amazing how much they have become a part of our popular culture.
Excellent. This is coming up when now exactly?
Performances of the Pirates of Penzance are the 5th, 6th, and 7th of April. That would be two evening performances, 8 p.m. starts, and then a 4 p.m. on the Sunday. That will finish out our 2012-2013 opera season.
And just a little bit about next year.
Next year's season, we are renewing subscriptions now and taking new subscriptions as well for a season that will feature four productions. The first in November being Lucia de Lammermoor, which will feature the debut in a major role of a local soprano here named Jane Driebert, who I am really excited to put in the lead role of Lucia. I think that's going to be a marvelous start to the year. Then in January, we're going to be out at APU in Grant Hall to do Rossini's very first opera. It was commissioned to him when he was 18 years old for Venice. And it is the opera La Cambiale de Matrimonio, The Marriage Broker. And the reason to do it is, one, to see something that an 18-year-old had written, mm-hmm. Which I don't know what you were doing at 18, but I wasn't writing opera at 18. And the characters in La Cambiale and the music, 6 years later, become some of the seeds that become the Barber of Seville. So it's very interesting. Then in February, we're going to be out at the Lussac Library doing a contemporary piece by the composer David Little called Soldier Songs. And then we finish up in April back in the Discovery Theater with a collaboration with Perseverance Theater on a production of De Fledermaus, Johann Strauss classic, but set in Austin with a book and lyrics written by the Alaskan playwright Deborah Brevoort. So we're going to spend a little time laughing at ourselves and parroting Alaska and Anchorage.
Excellent. We're about out of time. I'm going to ask both of you to stay and help me read the calendar, since I'm alone today. Thank you, Bill Forbee, director of this opera, and Kevin Patterson, executive director of Anchorage Opera, for coming to talk about Pirates of Penzance, which opens in a couple of weeks.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And now here's the Stage Talk calendar. And remember, for another calendar or to post your event, go to Datebook 49 on alaskapublic.org.
Theater Arts United's presentation of Jesus Christ Superstar is in its last weekend at the Sidney Lawrence Theater in the Performing Arts Center, with performances Friday and Saturday at 7:30 and Saturday and Sunday at 2:30. For tickets and information, go to 263ARTS or go to centertix.net.
Up in Wasilla, Valley Performing Arts presents Clue, the musical, running through this weekend. Showtimes are Friday and Saturday at 8 and Sunday at 2. For tickets and information, call 373-0195 or go to valleyperformingarts.org.
Anchorage Community Theater's production of At Home with the Clarks runs through March 31st. Performances are on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday evenings at 7 and Sunday at 3. Tickets are available at actalaska.org or call 868-4913.
And it's the last weekend to see TBA Presents Cotton Patch Gospel at APU's Grant Hall. Showtimes are Friday and Saturday at 7 and Saturday and Sunday at 3. For info, call 677-PLAY or go to play@tbatheater.org.
Anchorage Opera's production of The Pirates of Penzance will be shown the weekend of April 5th with performances Friday and Saturday at 8 and Sunday at 4 at the Discovery Theater in the Performing Arts Center. For tickets, go to centertix.net or call 263ARTS. Well, that's it for this week. If you'd like to download free podcasts of Stage Talk, visit our website at alaskapublic.org. Thanks for listening. Until the next time, I'm Jean Paul for KSKA.